You're working from home, your defenses are down, you're desperate for information, or maybe just a cool new face mask, and state-sponsored hackers are counting on all of those feelings to get you to click on their sketchy emails. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. Malicious hacking activity is way up over the past couple of months. A report this month from Google found that 12 groups with ties to foreign governments are using content related to COVID-19 to create phishing emails that try to trick people into turning over personal information or clicking links that can install malware. Hackers commonly use major events, news headlines, and disasters to try to trick people into making bad decisions so they can compromise their computers. And unfortunately, right now, the COVID-19 pandemic provides them with a whole lot of bait. Lily Hay Newman is a senior writer at Wired who wrote about the Google report.
Google found that state-sponsored hackers from countries around the world are using kind of the cover of the pandemic to mount their attacks. So it's important to note, because while there have been a lot of different types of attacks coming from everywhere as a result of this, from criminals, from scammers, there was an idea that nation-state hackers, government-backed hackers, might be taking advantage of this as well. And Google's report shows that that's the case.
So what does that look like specifically? Is it mostly phishing attacks that might be aimed at people who work in corporations or sensitive infrastructure?
Right, exactly. So in one case, Google saw a campaign targeting U.S. government workers, but on their personal email accounts, with phishing emails that were trying to steal those Google login credentials. And they were emails that pretended to be from fast food companies with coupons, you know. You know, they're targeting government workers, but it's your personal account, it's about food, it's, you know, it feels so totally removed from the types of things people might be looking out for that you can see how it's sort of a clever way to try to take advantage of this.
Right. Have we seen any results from this? I feel like I saw that, I mean, certainly there were Zoom emails and passwords for sale, but I feel like I also saw that maybe WHO or the Bill Gates Foundation had been targeted.
Right. There have been a number of high profile attacks coming to light. So far, people are sort of mostly saying either it doesn't seem that the attacks were successful or that it's not confirmed. You know, they're not sure, basically. Mm-hmm. Researchers really caution that it's likely that it's happening, that nation-state attackers, again, from countries around the world, mm-hmm. that they are successfully grabbing credentials and trying to just sort of lay low. So just because we haven't heard about the bombshell yet doesn't mean it's not happening.
Right. And what is kind of the worst case scenario here? I mean, do you think cybersecurity officials are worried about a 9/11 style cyber attack in the midst of what is already a pretty destabilizing event?
It certainly is possible if, you know, that someone could mount a disruptive, offensive cybersecurity attack like that. Mm-hmm. You know, the bigger issue with this specifically is the idea that it's just a fertile time for a huge amount of intelligence gathering. Yep. So I think those are the worst case scenario concerns right now.
And then tell us what it is about this moment that makes us more vulnerable to these phishing attempts. Is it, you know, the combination of clever appeals in phishing emails and just our general distractedness?
I definitely think that's a lot of it. The pandemic just provides so much great fodder. And when I say great, I mean problematic.
Yes.
Of course. Because, it just goes on and on. It's like you have people's home living situation being different. Maybe they're, you know, they going to the store to get groceries or trying to find toilet paper. Like all these, you know, acts of daily living are now different. But then also their job is different, or maybe they're out of work, or they're, you know, trying to seek government assistance, or just so many aspects of our daily lives are altered or impacted by the situation that it creates a lot of fodder for all the different types of masquerading emails you could write, you know, pretending to be related to any of those things, it would be more likely to come across as genuine because people are, you know, scared, concerned, seeking information, all feelings of a sense of urgency that make it more likely that phishing attacks will be successful. And then combined with that, you know, that a lot of people are working from home, they're using VPNs, their companies are seeing all this remote traffic on their networks, and that's now expected because all their workers are remote. But what if someone else is remote, you know, who isn't supposed to be there? It's a lot easier to hide in that traffic because it all looks sort of the same. So a lot of types of concerns coming out of these conditions.
Lily Hay Newman is a senior writer at Wired. The latest high-profile attack, Nintendo said Friday that up to 160,000 accounts had been hacked. It asked users to reset their passwords. Nintendo's Animal Crossing has been one of the sleeper hits of the coronavirus lockdown. And now for some related links. We'll have a link to Lily Hay Newman's story on our website, marketplacetech.org. There's also an Al Jazeera piece there about corporate hacking in particular, with some pretty disturbing numbers in it. One security executive said there's a cybersecurity pandemic happening at the same time as the COVID-19 pandemic, especially since remote workers are more vulnerable to intrusion. One software and security company said ransomware attacks had jumped 148% in March by its tracking. And an FBI cybersecurity official said reports about hacking were coming in at a rate of 3 to 4 times normal. There is going to be a lot of cleanup from this, you guys. And here's what else we're watching in tech. We told you there would be tech earnings this week. Alphabet kicked it off Tuesday, reporting a 13% increase in revenue overall, including a 52% increase in its cloud business year over year, and 33% growth year over year for YouTube, now a $4 billion business in its own right. But Alphabet said it considers that slow growth, actually, and said the second quarter, which will reflect the real impact of the coronavirus crisis, is likely to be not good. Microsoft and Facebook announce earnings tomorrow. Facebook has recently put out a slew of new products to compete in the coronavirus age, including a competitor to Zoom and always-on chat rooms that are kind of like House Party. And finally, Facebook-owned Instagram and TikTok both announced new tools on Tuesday to support fundraising and donations to charities on their platforms. Instagram will let creators take donations during live streams and show who donated so they can get shout-outs. And TikTok announced donation stickers for live streams and recorded videos. People tap the sticker, and then they're taken to a page where they can donate to a collection of pre-picked charities. So if this is our entertainment now, at least it can let us do good while we stream. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.